top of the list at the moment, and I just looked at the statistics for 2008, and they're the same as they were when I joined the Accord in 1970, way back, a long time ago. Communication difficulties are still top of the list. I think over 40% of our people score communication difficulties as the area that's giving them most difficulty.
And so what does that mean? As in, the man is saying one thing but the woman's hearing something else, or vice versa?
Yeah. Well, it breaks into two halves, really. On one side, people are saying that the method of communication, there's a lot of insults and criticism flying backwards and forwards. And then on the other hand, sometimes people are saying that there's very little communication, that people are not being listened to or not being heard. Mm. So it's either, you know, one or the other of those.
Okay, so it's sort of a negative or non-communication.
Yes.
Almost. Yeah.
Yes.
And what would you, what advice would you give them then?
Well, the first piece of advice would be to try and identify what the issue is, because very often when people come to counselling, they come with a whole lot of issues and they're all out on the table. So the first thing to do is to try and isolate and agree, the couple to agree on what it is that they want to tackle first of all. Mm. And then for one person to speak on that, say, and to begin a sentence with I. Very often when people are in difficulty, they start a sentence with you. Mm. You do this, you always do that, you never do whatever.
Okay, so it's almost like a blame game, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. So by starting a sentence with I, then the person is saying what they're thinking and what they're feeling, and the other person is to listen. Just listen, not think of a response, but just to totally listen to the other person, and maybe when they have listened, to reflect back what it is that they've heard. Not to respond to it, but to say, this is what I've heard you saying. So at least now we have some kind of a genuine communication going on. One person has said what it is they think or what it is they feel, and the other person has responded, I'm clarifying what it is you've said, what you felt and what you think.
Yeah,
so at least that's a starting position. Now there's lots of things to go on after that, obviously.
It's very difficult though, isn't it, when communication breaks down and conflict develops, because we tend to almost demonise the other person.
Yes.
After a while, don't we?
Yes, and if people come in a very agitated state, they may not be in a position to talk to each other, like I've said there. So the starting position might be for the wife to talk to me as the counsellor and say to me what it is she's thinking, what it is she's feeling, what is the big issue, so that I will model a good level of communication between myself and let's say the woman, while the husband is listening, and then do the same with the husband, and then eventually go on from there, hopefully that they will be able to do that kind of communication between themselves.
Mm-hmm. It must be very satisfying to see them reconcile.
Well, it is tremendously satisfying, and it doesn't happen very quickly. You know, there has to be obviously quite a number of sessions, but there is great satisfaction to see people going out hand in hand that came in, and there was, you know, Siberia was happening between them.
Yeah, and what about cost for people as well? I mean, you know, that could be quite because money is becoming a bigger issue for people too. Yeah. So what kind of costs are
involved? Well, one of the advantages of coming to Accord is that the cost is determined by the person coming. They pay according to their ability to pay. We will see people who pay nothing. We see people who pay us a lot. Mm. But that is the great comfort to people coming. And very often we get phone calls, and one of the first questions people ask is, how much will it cost? And we say, well, it's related to your ability to pay. Because we get, you know, some funding from the Department of Social and Family Affairs, we can kind of subsidise their counselling.
Okay, yeah. That's great, isn't it, for people? And especially, do you get a lot of people now coming with financial worries? Is that starting to loom on the horizon?
It is. The statistics, again, are indicating that. I just had a look at them before I came out. And I think in 2007, for example, the number of people coming with financial difficulties was quite low, whereas for the first quarter of 2009, it's up at 28%.
What advice then would you give, you know, to the couple themselves, or not necessarily financial advice, but for the couple to sort of emotionally survive that kind of a crisis?
Yes, I think what they have to do is readjust their expectations in terms of spending. Like, couples may have got used to spending at a certain level. Now, because there's less money coming in, obviously they'll have to readjust that. But the important thing is that they sit down and agree. Like, if you have, let's say, up to now they may have had €50 discretionary money to spend at the weekend. Now they may have €5 discretionary money. So the important thing is that they both agree how to spend that €5. If they can come to an agreement on how to spend it, then that's the key.